Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Hello, friends. Okay, we are back for part four of what I'm calling the Voldemort method. And if you have not listened to the three episodes prior, please go listen to those. I'm going in order. This is a series. And today we're going to be talking about the fourth part, which is aha. So I'll just recap really quickly the Voldemort process, and it's still going to be the Voldemort method, Voldemort process, maybe I'll decide to change the name, but for now it is Voldemort process, Voldemort method. So the five steps are associations, approach, angles, ahas, and awareness. So today we're going to be talking about the ahas, and this is approach that I have created. This is a method that I have created to basically encompass the five things I think you really need to be able to create content that sells, be able to create content that speaks to the subconscious of your ideal brain, and just puts your brand message at the forefront of your soulmate clients. Okay, let's just jump into it. So number four, ahas. So what I mean by this, I actually say this phrase with my clients quite often. And when I say it, it takes it a few times for it to click. But once it clicks, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. But I like to call it my coaching and the content process. And I tend to, when I'm working with people, I tend to draw in a lot of clients who have open heads and open ajnas, or they'll have an open head and maybe a defined ajna. But I realized that with my clients who have open head, open ajnas, this is such an amazing process, because having an open head, open ajna in human design, we are a mirror to other people. And so we really can mirror back other people's thoughts, mirror back other people's processes. We're also very open-minded. And so it's very easy for us to coach. A lot of really successful, very great mindset coaches have, not to say that if you do not have that, you're not a great mindset coach, but it's a little bit easier to be able to step out of our own heads and get into the heads of other people when you have an open head, open ajna in human design. And so this process that I call coaching and the content allows, it's very easy for you to do that. And it allows you to really step into the brains of your clients. So basically, to simply put it, aha moments, the ahas for part four is, what aha moments have your clients had that you can share about? So this means this could be stories, this could be coaching that you've actually given, and how it just, like, a question that you asked them and then you just had this aha moment, right? What are topics or conversations that your clients have had that you can literally go write a post and saying, I was talking to my client and this is how the conversation went? Or something like, I see so many entrepreneurs, coaches, women, et cetera, whoever your ideal client is, think this blank, and then share how you helped shift that. These are the aha moments, right? And if you think about you and just your everyday life or your reading content, when people say something that makes you go, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way, that's when it really sticks with you. That's when it really changes your perspective and changes your mind. And you have many of these situations, especially with your clients, right? Because a lot of things that your clients do not know, and not calling your clients dumb by any means, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you can see things that your clients can't see, things that your clients don't know. And that's why they hired you, because they need your insight. They need your coaching. They need your guidance. They need your expertise, right? So what are some of these things that you can go and share in your content? Now, I also want to say, this is not meaning to go share all their private life, share all these things that they would not want you to share. Like, I don't think I have to preface that, but I'm going to, just in case there is someone out there that's, oh, let me go share these private things that my client told me in private. That is not what I'm telling you to do. What I'm telling you to do is, what are some of these lessons that you can talk about, that you can share? What are some actual real life examples? And again, also ask. I ask all of my clients if I am able to share what happened on our calls. And if they, and I never use their names. I never actually use their names. I'm very vague with the information that I'm giving, but a lot of times they're fine. They're totally fine with it. I don't think I've actually ever had anyone object, but I also know, I use discernment to know what is appropriate to share and what is not. But what is appropriate to share, these aha moments, you can really shift the perspective of your ideal clients in your content by using these stories, because one, they can see themselves in it, and two, it's showing your expertise, right? So I'm just going to give you a really quick example of my own. And this is a story that I have told so many times. I've maybe even already told it on this podcast. So if you've heard it again, it's fine. You're going to hear it in a different way today, but it's always a favorite. Every time I share it, people are like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And they totally see themselves in it. Okay. So I once had this client. I was on a call with them and they were incredibly frustrated because their offer was not selling. When they came to me, they didn't have an offer. So we basically created this whole new offer and we structured it. And they came back, I think 2 weeks after we structured it, and she was saying that it wasn't selling. And she felt like she had a lot of engagement in her content. Like, her content was really good and people were commenting on her content and saying things like, oh my gosh, this offer sounds amazing. But nobody was actually buying. And so when that happens, I don't think it's just one thing, but we had to do some digging, right? So I asked her, because I think my clients are incredibly intelligent and very smart, and I wanted to know like what they think the problem was. So I asked her, what do you think the issue is? And she said, I think I have an offer problem. I think my offer is too expensive. And I, knowing that wasn't really the root problem, not to like over here toot my own horn, but I helped her create this whole offer. And in my mind, I didn't think it was too expensive. But again, this is why every person has a different mind and you have to talk about the subconscious, right? And while we're creating this offer, she was very excited. She was like, oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. This is exactly what I want to offer. This is a perfect offer to me. We decided on the price based off of her nervous system. She was saying that she thought that price was perfect. Of course, she went out and she tried to sell it for 2 weeks and she just came back. It wasn't selling. And she said, I think I have an offer problem. I think it's the offer. She was pretty new in her business too at this point as well. But she said, I think I have an offer problem. I think it's too expensive. I knew that wasn't the root problem, but I coached her on it and we talked about it. But I said, look, I'm a 1-3 in human design, and she is as well. And I said, so the 3 is the experimenter. And here's the thing. If you are not 100% subconsciously on board with this price, we can lower it. It's fine. But I also want to make sure you're not lowering this price because of scarcity. She was just like, no, I really do feel like it should be lower. I said, okay, let's just do it and let's see. Because again, I also am strategical. So sometimes it does sell at a lower price. So let's just try it. So the following week, we jumped back on a call and there were still no sales. And she was still incredibly frustrated. So we were coaching on it. And I asked her, like, what do you think the issue is now? I said, do you still think your offer is too expensive? Because obviously you lowered it and people still aren't buying. So it's obviously not expensive. And I knew all this. But again, I have to let them come to their own conclusions sometimes as well. She said, well, I don't think it's the price, because you're right. Like, I did lower the price out of scarcity. And I was like, I know, I'm going to let you learn your lessons. I'm going to let you figure out your stuff on your own. Basically, she was saying, I just feel like my offer might be too long. I think that I should just shorten it. I said, why do you think that? She's, I don't know. And I said, okay, look, has anyone given you any feedback? Has anyone said, hey, your offer, I would buy your offer if it wasn't 6 months long. I'd buy your offer if it wasn't this. I'd buy your offer if it was cheaper. Has anyone actually told you those words, or are all these just made up thoughts in your head trying to solve a problem? And she was like, yeah, no one said anything. Pretty much everyone's had positive feedback, but again, like, nobody's buying. I said, so everyone's telling you that you have an amazing offer, right? But you're telling yourself it's too expensive, it's too long, you need to shorten it, it's a problem with it, X, Y, Z. And she was like, yeah, because obviously there is something wrong with it if it's not selling. So at this point, I just said, okay, look, we're going to take a different angle. I said, who is someone in your industry that does something similar to you that you admire? And it took her like all of 2 seconds to say, oh, Alyssa. I've followed Alyssa for years. She's like my idol in a way. Like, I have paid so much attention to her. She I just love everything that she does, like Alyssa, and we do very similar things. I said, okay, now let's say we took your offer before we lowered the price, like the original offer that you and I created, and we gave that offer to Alyssa. And I said, and told her to go out and sell it. I said, do you think people would buy it? I did not even finish my sentence before she said, her, absolutely. Yeah, everyone loves her. Everyone would totally buy it. So then I sat there for a second. We sat in silence. And she like looked at me and she was like, oh. And I said, yeah. So tell me why you have an offer problem. If people would buy it from her, then why wouldn't they buy it from you? It's not an offer problem. And she sat there and she looked at me, she's like, oh my gosh, you're totally right. And I said, there's something else going on. Let's like get down to the bottom of it. So we did some coaching and it turned out, we did some subconscious work and turns out that she had this subconscious fear that people would think she was a liar. And I know this is like totally crazy, but I'll explain in a minute. But you're like, how in the world did you get to that conclusion? But basically she had this subconscious fear that people would think she was a liar. So at the time that we worked together, she called herself an autoimmune coach, and she worked with people specifically who had autoimmune diseases and helping them reduce their autoimmune flare-ups. And she was really big in the autoimmune community. She was freaking amazing at what she did. She also had her own autoimmune disease, and she's had a really long autoimmune journey. And she was telling me what we discovered was she was saying that she felt like when she was growing up and she had this autoimmune disease, she would go to doctors because she knew something was wrong. She'd tell her parents she knew something was wrong. Just everything. She just knew something was wrong. And they took so many tests. The doctors did all of these things and they just did not find anything wrong with her. And she just said that she was told over and over again, there's nothing wrong with her. And it was all in her head. And she was told that by doctors, parents, loved ones, family members, everything. And she said she even got teased or whatever because she just was always the problem child, basically, that she was always something was, she was always complaining. And so she said, she was like, I said, how'd that make you feel? She was like, oh my God. I said, what is that? I said, how'd that make you feel? She said, it makes me feel horrible. And I said, and what are you making it mean about you that all of these people told you it was all in your head? She said that I'm a liar. Therefore, she was terrified to really talk about her expertise. She was terrified to really go out there and show up and be herself and talk about autoimmune diseases because the little girl inside of her was still believing that she was a liar because all of these people kept being like, it's all in your head, whatever. So she had this subconscious belief that people are going to think I'm a liar. Of course, she didn't want to show up and sell her offer, and which was hilarious because I even asked her, like, how many times did you pitch your offer in these last 3 weeks? That the first 2 weeks we created your offer and you went out 2 weeks. I said, how many times did you actually talk about your offer? And she had talked about it twice. That's it, twice. And then all the other content was DIY content. Like I said, not DIY, but I didn't mean DIY. I meant educational, right? Teaching people how to do it themselves versus hiring her. And even a lot of her content was just her doing workouts. It wasn't even her talking to her audience. It was nothing. Like no one was even really getting to know her. And she had just offered this offer twice to her email list, I think of 40 people, not even. And then she posted it on her Instagram stories that I asked her, how many people saw your Instagram stories? And she was like, maybe 20 or 30. So she had talked about this twice, talked about her offer a grand total of twice, and then was frustrated that it wasn't selling. So that was another factor as well. But what really was the factor of people are going to think I'm a liar. And this caused her to, I want to understand that your subconscious brain, your thoughts create your feelings, create your actions, create your results. Because she had this subconscious belief that I am a liar, her action was, or her feeling was like, I need to hide. I can't really show up. And her actions were, she created an offer that she didn't really feel aligned in selling. So therefore she didn't sell it. She didn't show up and sell it. She didn't think she was the right person for the job. Like she's like, I'm a liar. Why would people pay attention to me? It's all in my head. So obviously if she was having those thoughts about herself, of course she wasn't going to sign people, right? People, your energy, you know what, the energy you put out is the energy you receive, right? And so she didn't feel aligned in selling her offer. She didn't think she was the right person for her job. And this showed up all in her messaging. This is when I say, when I tell you that your messaging is a reflection of your mindset, this is a very, really great example, right? Because it showed up in her messaging. It showed up that she was being very vague in her messaging. She actually wasn't even pitching her offer at all. And then even within her ideal client, she was very vague. She was targeting people who weren't problem aware or solution aware. They were only symptom aware. Like, she was just being like, yeah, you're really tired. And like, even her content was like, I woke up this morning feeling really tired. If you wake up in the mornings and you feel really tired, here's something you can do. Like, I think 99% of the population wakes up and feels tired, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you have an autoimmune disease or not. But it was, you know, this was something that I started seeing, that this subconscious belief, this subconscious pattern was showing. And her overall actions, right? Like, she hardly talked about her offer. She just was not showing up. So I use the story to showcase why I believe messaging is a subconscious game, first of all, and how we could have changed the price, the structure. We could have created a whole brand new offer and she still would have struggled to sell it. She would have had a hard time showing up and selling because of this subconscious belief, right? And I share this story because every time I share it, someone else is like, oh my God, wow, I totally see how I have a subconscious belief. And a lot of the times when I'm dealing with marketing and messaging, first of all, you're using your voice, right? Which a lot of people have been shamed for using their voices, especially females. We're told as children should be seen, not heard. We're told, like, you need to be polite. It's actually funny, me and my husband had this conversation the other day that, like, I really don't like yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. I don't like it. I feel that growing up, the people who made me call them yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, were people I didn't respect. And it's supposed to be a sign of respect. And I did not respect these people, but they were making me say, no, you need to say this to me. You call me whatever. And so I was telling him, I have a bad connotation with it. And it makes me think of superiority. It makes me think of someone being in control and you have to say yes, ma'am, and no, and you know, sir. And I was telling him how I don't want our daughters to have to be able to do that. For example, my husband's father, that's how he was raised. My daughter, he asked my daughter if she wanted something and she said yes. And he goes, yes, sir, like that. And he got like a, not mean, like a stern tone. And she was like, yes, sir. And she like said it in such like a whimpering way. And I was like, that's exactly how I experienced it growing up. No, I'm not going to be coerced into saying something I don't want to say. And so I told my husband, I were talking, I said, what about an alternative is yes, please, or no, thank you, or yes, thank you. He was like, yeah, I guess that's fine, whatever. But it's different for women and men because we were growing up told we weren't allowed really to use our voices, even just children in general. This is not even like a male or female, but children in general, we weren't allowed to show our emotions and be loud and expressive. And so now we're literally being told, we're like trying to run businesses and we're being told, get out there, show up, use your voice. And we're like, but we've been shamed for using our voice for many years. How in the world, like decades and decades. How are we supposed to show up now? And so there's so many subconscious things going on with my clients when they come up. And as well as in general, it's also not only showing up and using your voice, but then showing up with like your whole body, right? Like being on camera and all these things. And that can also have a lot of subconscious beliefs. But I say this because this is a story, like back to the original topic, I went on a tangent, but back to the original topic is this is a story that I share a lot that I can talk about aha moments I have with my clients because it is an example of her offer. She thinking she had an offer problem, which a lot of my clients will come to me and they're like, there's something wrong with my offer because it's not selling. And I'm like, is it actually your offer or is it some subconscious belief that you have? And it's interesting because it's usually always a subconscious belief. Maybe we need to tweak the offer a little bit here and there, which we do when we work together. But it's just, it's something they're like, oh, wow, yeah, you're totally right. I wasn't aware of this and now I see it. And so I'm able to share stories like this, these aha moment stories, and people reading it see themselves in my clients. And that's why it's also really important because your clients need to see, your potential clients need to see. They need to see themselves in your content. And I even want to go back to the story because I want to point out, this was so freaking good. I want to point out with this particular client of mine, I asked her, I said, your clients also have an autoimmune disease. Do you think they also feel like liars? Do you think they also have this subconscious belief? Because they've probably also experienced a ton of doctors telling them that it was all in their head. And she was like, oh my gosh, yes. And I said, how can you show up and show them that you believe them. Because if this is some subconscious wound that they have, like you want more than anything for people to believe you, don't you think your clients also want that? I was like, how can you take the voice? How can you take the focus off of you and use your voice for them? Like, how can you fight for them versus fighting against them? And I will say this too. She also had gate 60 in her human design, and that is the gate of acceptance. And she also had the gene key gift of realism, right? That's the gate 60 is the gene key of realism and the gate of acceptance. And all of this was located in her open root center. She also had an Aries moon, which basically meant she was here to accept and believe people and show them that she understood how real their problems were. Isn't that fascinating? It was so cool. So when I looked at that and I showed her like, hey, like you are here to talk about this. This is really truly. And with it being with your Aries moon, it emotionally, it fulfills you emotionally to be able to accept and believe people and connect with them and show them that you understand how real their problems are. And with it being in her Aries moon and root center, it showed that she was very passionate about it, moon, and was here to do something about it because the root center is a pressure center to do, right? And Aries is a go-getter slash doer, and the root center shows the pressure to do. So it was like, this is literally here. This is a big part of what you're here to do. And you're very passionate about it, and it's going to emotionally fulfill you to really go out there and be a voice for them, to be an advocate for them and show them that you believe them. And they probably subconsciously want that. And this was so aha for her because she was like, oh my God, yeah, I get to be the person that they've always wanted. And she goes, I get to be the person I've always wanted. And let me tell you what, her content completely shifted after that. And if I remember correctly, I think she signed 3 clients within 2 or 3 days after that, which was nuts for her, like nuts, because she'd only had 1 or 2 clients ever. Isn't that amazing? But do you see how me sharing the story gave me an opportunity to showcase exactly what it's like working with me through aha moments, as well as giving me the opportunity to further break down my unique approach, which is step 2, right? And people also love this type of content because, again, they can see themselves in it. It's not markety. It's not filled with tons of jargon. It's not, here's 5 steps to X, Y, and Z, right? And it's not, here's why your offer's not selling, and saying, you might not really believe in your offer. I'm not saying that. I'm giving a perfect example, right? I'm giving a perfect example. And if I were to market like that, you'd be like, absolutely not. I don't care. You'd probably just keep on scrolling. And I'll even say too, if I were to say, here's why your offer is not selling, or you might not really believe in your offer, that kind of sounds insulting, doesn't it? Like if I came up to you and I was like, you don't believe in your offer, you'd be like, screw you. I put a lot of effort into this offer. I've done a lot of work to create this offer. And this is like my wife's work. This is my work. What do you mean? You're going to get more insulted. You're going to get more insulted. And it's not going to hit you subconsciously the way that I would want it to hit you because you aren't seeing yourself in a positive way either. Of course, this is like only one type of content I obviously talk about with my clients and teach my clients how to incorporate. But it's game changer. It's really game changer when you are able to take these aha moments and be able to shift perspectives in your content. And I literally call it coaching in the content. It is how you are coaching. And I even want to say, you don't have to actually use real life examples of your clients. And another thing too, right? You can look at maybe just overall perspectives that you see happening a lot in your industry and how you would coach it. Like even be hypothetical, you could say, if someone were to come to me with this problem, this is how I would coach it. And you know what problems your ideal clients deal with. So if you thought, if someone came to me with this problem, this is how I'd coach them on it and break that down. And literally you can create a post that was like, I see so many entrepreneurs believing they have the problem of X, Y, and Z. And when I approach this and when I see, this is how I approach it. And then you can break it down. Like it is just that simple. And what's going to happen is it's going to grab your client immediately in the beginning because they're like, yeah, I totally feel like I have that problem. And then you're going through and you're talking about it and you're being able to share your unique approaches, your unique perspectives, all those amazing things, right? and you're able to coach in the content and you're able to share aha moments. And the last thing I'll say as well is this also doesn't have to be some really long, drawn out piece of content. You can take one kind of aha moment and perspective. I'll give you a really great example. I say this all the time. The phrase work smarter, not harder. I always say, yeah, that's a great phrase. However, what I find is a lot of people don't actually know what working smarter is. So they end up working harder on tasks that aren't smarter because in their mind, they just think I just need to do more. Like to them, smarter is doing more of what's already working, but they probably don't even know what's already working. So they end up working smarter on tasks or they end up working harder on tasks that aren't smarter. And anytime I talk about that, people are like, oh my God, I've never thought of it that way. I'm like, yeah, everyone's out here be like, work smarter, not harder. And I'm like, but have you actually really realized what is smarter? Have you actually taken the time to figure out what is actually smarter? A lot of people know, right? They just think, oh, I just need to keep doing more of what I'm already doing. But maybe 75% of what you're doing is not actually moving the needle. That's a very simple thing I can do. These little bitty shifts, these aha moments, right? And a really good formula I like to use about this is, and this is part of NLP and something I teach with my clients, is the formula of, is it blank or is it blank? Or are you blank or are you blank? I'll give you an example. My husband one time was telling me that he just felt very lazy. And I said, is it that you're lazy or is it that you haven't found something to motivate you yet? Ooh. It's not super profound, but do you see how you can shift it? Is it that you're lazy or is it that you just haven't found something that motivates you yet? It feels way nicer to say that, right? And this is just a really great formula that you can do. And I could say too, I'm like, is it that, I just shared this actually the other day with, I think on my TikTok, where I said, it's not that you're not committed, it's that you're committed to the wrong things. Whoa, game changer, right? So that's a really good formula. That's part of an NLP technique. But anyways, okay, so that is the end of this episode. Next episode, we'll be talking about awareness. This is probably my favorite piece and probably the one I see the most people struggle with. So come back for that episode. And if you missed it in the last episode, I talked about how I am currently reselling the Speakeasy Masterclass that I did with my previous business partner last year, Rachel, and I asked her if I could sell it again. She's like, absolutely, 100%. And we still do business things together. We just don't have our own business together anymore. But I am putting that for sale right now. And it is a hour and a half masterclass all around being able to create content that is so potent it should be prohibited. I talk about a few things like this in the masterclass. And I also talk about a lot of pieces that will go into speaking to your ideal client. And it's such a freaking good masterclass. I promise you, it's $27. That's it. I'll put the link below. Grab it if you'd like. And if you do, let me know. I can't wait to see you in there. But it is a replay of a live masterclass I did last year with Rachel. So you'll see both of our beautiful faces on it. So anyways, I hope you have the most amazing day and I will see you on the next episode. Bye. Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, I mean barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.